Let's turn in God's Word this morning to James chapter 1. James 1. Verse that we will meditate upon this morning is verse 17. But we'll read the entire chapter this morning. The Word of God at James 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of firstfruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We read the Word of God that far. As I said, it's verse 17 that we look at this morning. Let's read that verse again. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we gather together this morning in order to reflect upon and to worship God for the gifts that He has given to us. It's good for us to do that this morning as the Church of Christ, because as the Church of Christ, we have so much for which we must be thankful. And to take the time as we do this morning on this Thanksgiving Day to come together to hear a word about what this Thanksgiving is all about is spiritually profitable. To do that, we're going to look at this passage from James chapter 1. The context of James 1 has to do with the trials and temptations that we face as the children of God. James really comes to what I believe is the climax of the chapter in verse 12, where he tells the church that the one who endures the trials of this life is blessed, and one day will receive the crown of life, which God hath promised to those that love Him. James, however, after that 12th verse, is not finished teaching the church about trials and temptations. There's one more truth that he wants to make abundantly clear to the church. What he wants to make clear to the church is that God does not tempt. In fact, God cannot tempt. Temptations are evil. Temptations, as we well know, are attempts to cause us to fall into sin. God cannot be tempted with evil. God does not tempt. He very much wants the church to know that. He says, even in verse 16, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." In other words, Church of Christ, don't get this wrong. And here's why that can't be the case. Our God is the Father of lights. And as the Father of lights, what comes from Him is every good and every perfect gift. And on top of that, we can know that that will never change because of who He is as the God with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Only good comes from God, and therefore He is not the one that tempts, because temptations are evil. In the end, this morning, what we will come away with is the fact that it is not so much what we are thankful for, although there are many things that we are thankful for, but in the end, it is who we are thankful for. The giver of every good and perfect gift, the Father of lights. Let's hear a word on that this morning. And we'll use as our theme, perfect gifts from the unchanging Father of lights. This is a good passage to consider on Thanksgiving Day because it gives to us the source of everything that we have. Everything that's been given to us does not come from below, the text says, does not come from men and women on this earth, but they come from above, exactly because they come from God. What we need to have before our minds this morning is who our God is as the Father of lights. And what that means for us as the Church of Christ with respect to what He gives us and how God uses what He gives us to serve His purposes. As the Father of lights, everything God gives to us are good and perfect gifts. Which means that God gives us these gifts with our best interest in mind. He gives us these gifts in the end to serve His great purposes, which for you and me is the glory of His name in our salvation in Jesus Christ. That's the truth that we need to keep in the front of our minds this morning as we consider this passage. God's the Father of lights. From Him come good and perfect gifts, and those gifts serve His purpose of bringing glory to His name and our salvation. It's true, this verse does not use the word thanksgiving. This verse does not have in it the word thanks. This verse does not say explicitly the exhortation, give thanks. But nevertheless, this is a good verse for us to look at this morning. Because at the end of it, the only conclusion that we will be able to come to when we consider this truth is exactly that.
be thankful. James, in setting forth the truths in his epistle, loves to use graphic, figurative, descriptive language. He does that all throughout chapter 1, and this 17th verse is no exception. He calls God the Father of lights. And he does that for a good reason. The concept of light is filled with significance in the Scriptures. God is the Father of lights. And when he says that, he makes clear that God is the source of light. All light comes from God. That brings us all the way back to the beginning. The very first thing that God created, light. The very first words that he said, "Let there be light." And then later he created the light bearers, which carry the light and from which the light is radiated. This text brings us right back to the very beginning and sets forth that foundational truth that all light comes from God. In light of that, the Scriptures carry through that theme of light and use the concept of light to teach us all sorts of truths about the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ and the salvation that we have in Him. Light is a picture of so many things in Scripture. Here's a few of them. Light's a picture of God Himself. Not only is He the Father of lights, this text says, but 1 John 1 verse 5 says, "Then this is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Light is a picture of Jesus Christ. John 8 verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Light is a picture of the truth and of God's Word. Psalm 43, verse 3, "O send out thy light and thy truth." Psalm 119, 105, the well-known verse, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Light is a picture of life, physical life. There's a reason that light was created first by God. Light was needed for there to be life, even physical life, on this earth. But light is also a picture of our spiritual life. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And then 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says that we are called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. For all of those points of comparison, God and Christ and the truth and God's Word and life and salvation, we could give scores of passages. But when we see this, what light is a picture of, and look at it broadly, we can say this: light is a picture of what is truly good. God is the Father of lights. What comes forth from God, therefore, is that which is truly good. God is the good God. To bolster this point, we can look at the opposite, which is darkness. The text does not say He's the Father of darkness, but the Father of lights. Darkness in the Scriptures is a picture of sin and death and destruction and hell and the kingdom of Satan. And that explains all of the exhortations in God's Word. People of God, walk in light, not in darkness. God is the Father of lights. This is why he cannot tempt. This is why temptations which are evil do not come from him. As the Father of lights, he is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Before we look at the nature of those gifts, that they're good and that they're perfect, it's helpful simply to step back and take note of the fact that God gives gifts. That in and of itself is astounding. God of heaven and earth, sovereign over all things, we mere creatures of this earth, He gives us gifts. In a couple of weeks, we'll have gifts on our minds because of the Christmas season. Children, understand that your parents don't have to give you gifts. Just because it's Christmas doesn't mean that you have to give gifts. Gifts are given when those who give them want to do it. It's an expression of love for the one to whom the gift is given. And for us as God's people, we can say that with respect to what He gives us. As God's people, it's astounding that He gives us things. And because we are God's people, they come to us as an expression of His love for us. Just the fact that God gives us gifts is astounding. And then consider some of those gifts. As we certainly do on this Thanksgiving morning, so much for which we are thankful this morning. Let's just look at those things that we pointed out are pictures of light. We said that God is light. Well, God, in a certain self, gives us the gift of Himself to us. Not in the same sense that we get a gift and we make it our own, but nevertheless, God gives to us Himself. We are able to say, "My God, my Father." Jesus is a picture of light. We said we're given the gift of Jesus Himself as well, that unspeakable gift of Christ. He's my faithful Savior, and I belong to Him. We said that light is a picture of the truth and God's Word. What a gift that this is to us from God. We have the Scriptures. Marvelous that we can read them, study them, hear them proclaimed from week to week. Put that all together. God's our God. Jesus Christ is our Savior. God and Christ are revealed in His Word and the truth, and we're given the gift of life itself. Covenant, fellowship, life with God now and into eternity. And then on top of that, we could get into all of the physical gifts that God has given us. One of the main reasons that we even have Thanksgiving as a special day in which we gather together for worship. Not only does God give us gifts, but consider the amazing gifts that He has given to us. That leads us to be a thankful people in this day. But the text does say about those gifts that they are good and perfect gifts. As the Father of lights, He gives every good and every perfect gift. Let's see what that means. And to do that, we start with the word perfect. That word perfect really is what draws this whole passage together. The idea of the word perfect is that of completeness or fullness because a certain goal or purpose was accomplished. That's the root idea of that word perfect. Goal or purpose. It's the same root word that is used with the phrase end of the world. We read of that in the Scriptures, that the world will come to a certain end. that's not simply a temporal end. Time comes to a certain point and the world ends. That's not the idea, first and foremost. The idea is that God accomplished everything. The goal with the world was completed. That goal being the salvation of all people. And then Jesus Christ returns. This word has to do with a goal or a purpose. Take that idea and apply it then to gifts, to what God gives us. What God gives us serves His purpose, serves His goal. And for you and me, God's great goal with us is to bring us to glory, to save us in Jesus Christ, and to do that to the end that His name is glorified. Everything God does for us in part serves that great purpose. God gives us gifts. He gives us all sorts of things, and they're perfect gifts, meaning they accomplish that purpose. He does that as the Father of lights. God is good. What comes from God is that which is good. And God has a good purpose for you and me. And always in light of that good purpose does God send us the things that He sends us. And it's exactly for that reason that the text can also say every and good. Every good gift is good exactly because it is a perfect gift. Exactly because it serves that great purpose. What this means, people of God, is that it doesn't matter in the end what God has given to us. We are not in the business of trying to figure out, is this a good gift? Is this not a good gift? Our minds are tainted. What we think of things is not necessarily what God thinks of things. We may think it's good, or we may not think that it's good, but in the end, it doesn't matter. We're thankful because everything God sends us is good because it serves that purpose. That's why it doesn't matter what we have. It doesn't matter how much we have. We in the United States here in Hudsonville, Michigan, have so much. We are just as thankful as the church in China that worships in secrecy. And if the government finds out, we'll be persecuted. We're thankful because our God is the Father of lights, and everything He sends us serves that purpose. We understand this with respect to those good things. Shouldn't have said that. With respect to those things with which we can see that purpose of God. We can see how what He gives us serves clearly His purpose. With all of those things, in a certain sense, it's easy to be thankful. It's easy to have a smile on our face, joy in our hearts, sing praises to God, pray to God, and be thankful for everything He has given us. We understand it. We understand how some of these things serve that purpose of our salvation in Jesus Christ. All of those things that we talked about. Jesus. We're thankful for Jesus this morning. The Word, the truth, we're thankful for that. We understand how that is good for us and how it leads us to our salvation. We're thankful for the life that we have and will have one day into all eternity. But what this text allows us to do is be thankful in everything. To be thankful when what God sends to us is very, very difficult. He gives us gifts. He gives us money. But it may not be very much. So that the tuition is hard to pay and the bills are difficult to stay on top of. He gives us gifts of intellect or ability, but only this many. So that, yes, we do struggle in certain areas. And yes, there are areas in which others excel more than I do. He gives us sicknesses. He gives us diseases. He gives us the struggles of this body. But in the end, we're still a thankful people. And we still can be, because we know that it's sent to us by God as the Father of lights for our good. And in the end, we'll serve His great purposes. This calls attention to something that is also very important with respect to how we show thanks. Our thanksgiving is not only shown to God when we have smiles on our faces, when our hearts are overflowing with joy, when we're so ready to sing praises to God's name. All of that must be present. Philippians says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." But there is another way that we show gratitude to God. And this is what we need to hear when we consider all of those more difficult things that God is pleased to send us that nevertheless serve His purpose. We show gratitude to God by faithfulness and by obedience. Consider Job. God gave Job everything at the beginning, one of the richest men in all of the ancient world at that time. But then later, God was pleased to give him very little. Everything practically was taken away so that what he had, the gifts given to him by God, were very, very little. Job was troubled. He was brought low. But yet, Job, we can say, still had a spirit of thanksgiving in him. Because exactly this was the case. He was still, at the very beginning at least, faithful. He didn't curse God. He didn't rebel against God. At the beginning at least, he was at peace. He was content. And that for him was the way of obedience in light of his situation. And by doing that, he was showing himself to be a thankful people. What I'm saying right now, people of God, is that there are times when we have those difficulties. But you want to be a thankful person? So that our thankfulness is not governed simply by the good things and the many things that God has given us. Go forth in a way of obedience, in a way of thankfulness, in a way of faithfulness. And in that, God is pleased. And we can do this right now. And we can do this until the day that we die. The end of the text sets forth a beautiful truth concerning God. It's the truth that God is unchanging, that God is, to use the doctrinal word, immutable. Mutable, mutations, changes. Im is what negates that word, not changing. The text says that with God there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. With God there is no changes. And he continues with the figure of light. God is the Father of lights, and so it's only fitting that he sets this truth in terms of light. Shadows change. Shadows move. The sun comes up in the east, and it casts a certain shadow from the things that are blocking that light. Certain size, certain shape of that shadow. But as the sun goes over top of us and then sets in the west, all throughout the day, shadows are moving. Shadows are changing. They're always moving. They're always changing. And James says, that's not God. God doesn't change. That's an beautiful truth that affords us as God's people wonderful comfort. That God does not change. means that all of God's purposes never change. God determines to do something, God will do it, which means that God set His love upon you and upon me. And because God set His love upon us in Jesus Christ, that love for us will never change. We sang of that in Psalm 103. And that means that because He doesn't change, He will always carry through with His purposes. He determines to save us in Jesus Christ. He determines as the Father of light to give us all good and to use everything to serve that purpose. And because He never changes, that means He will continue to do that until the day that we are brought to Him and that goal is accomplished. And that means that we were thankful yesterday, and we were thankful all of the days prior to yesterday. We are thankful today on this Thanksgiving Day. And it means that we will be thankful until the day that we die. Exactly because our unchanging Father of lights sends to us every good and perfect gift. I said at the beginning, this text doesn't say anything specifically about thanks. It doesn't give us the exhortation, give thanks. But beloved, on this Thanksgiving morning, we hear this truth about God. And let us come to that only conclusion, and let that govern us in this day and all the days of our lives, that we show ourselves by what we say, by what we do, and by how we pray, that we truly are a thankful people. Thanks be to God, the Father of lights, the giver of every good and perfect gift. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before Thee this morning once again in prayer, thankful that Thou art our God, that Thou hast saved us in the Lord Jesus Christ and given us all of these good and perfect gifts that bring glory to Thy name. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt forgive what was said or heard in sin and go with us through the rest of this day. Give us a good day of worshiping and praising Thee. For Jesus' sake, amen.